We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 in our Bibles, and the title of the message today is Wolves in Preacher's Clothing. Wolves in Preacher's Clothing. Yes, maybe you've heard wolves in sheep's clothing. We're talking about wolves in preacher's clothing, and they are there. We're working through a series I've titled The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. Not my sermons. It's really Jesus' sermon that he gave, his Sermon on the Mount. Heard of an elderly couple who was in their old age, and they had noticed that they were getting a lot more forgetful, so they decided to go to the doctor. The doctor told them that they should start writing things down so they don't forget things, right? So they went home, and the old lady told her husband to get her a bowl of ice cream. Yeah, she just wanted a bowl of ice cream. Hey, you might want to write it down, she said, and the husband said, no, I can remember that. You want a bowl of ice cream. Then she told her husband she wanted a bowl of ice cream with whipped cream. Write it down. He says, no, I can remember a bowl of ice cream, whipped cream. Then the lady said, no, I want a bowl of ice cream, whipped cream, and a cherry on top. Write it down. And he said, no, I got it. I want a bowl of ice cream, whipped cream, and a cherry on top. So he goes to get the ice cream and spends an unusually long time in the kitchen, about 30 minutes, trying to find this. And he comes out to his wife and hands her a plate of eggs and bacon. The old wife stares at the plate for a moment. Then she looks at her husband and says, where's the toast? She forgot too, you see. Write it down. There are some things I'm going to want you to write down today that are very important. Wolves in preacher's clothing. There's some ways that you need to detect because it's really happening in this day and age. If you were the devil, which I hope you're not, what would be one of the best ways to get people far away from God and more into living for themselves, not making a difference in the world around them? I think that he has already found the best way in America. The best way to get people, the best way to infiltrate the church, the best way to get into people's lives and get them far away from God. So comfortable that they think they are Christians, but they actually aren't. Deceiving people into thinking they are following Christ and going to heaven, but they aren't. This is deception, and that's the perfect, smoothest way to really get people. Because it gets them comfortable. If you can get somebody to actually think that they are Christian walking with God, but they really aren't, you've kind of got them in a perfect place. It's pulling the wool over people's eyes. This is working on a person, really hustling them to the highest level, tricking them. One of the best ways to infiltrate an army is not just to attack them from the outside with guns blazing. It's like, oh, let's just go after them. That's not the smartest way. But the best way is to get a spy on the inside and to get someone who looks like one of them, who acts like one of them, who suits up like one of them, and then get them to play that spy and deceive from the inside, to get them to implode on themselves, to get the infrastructure to break down. If you can deceive from the inside, you've actually got the army. If you can cause confusion or division on the inside, you've actually got them before the attack even comes. And in confusion, when you attack from the outside, they're not strong enough to withstand the attack. The enemy has infiltrated some churches in America. He's gotten the leadership in the perfect place. They do the work for him. They deceive the people into thinking things about God that aren't true. They pump people up. They're full of candy, I like to call it. They just pump them full of candy every week, make them feel good in the moment, but they never feed them healthy food, not nutrients, not the stuff that you really need. So when the time of battle comes, they are weak and decayed on the inside. They've been eating, but they've been eating the wrong stuff. They're not healthy. They're not strong. And it kills them through the unhealthy preaching and teaching. That's how you decay a church. You just get a preacher in there who does not preach healthy sermons to the people. And then when the time comes to deceive the church, it will happen quickly. They will divide. They will split. They will run in opposite ways. You don't have to write out starve a people to kill them. You just feed them the bad stuff. They won't know it's the bad stuff because it tastes so good in the moment. All you got to do is go to a church for about 6 months to a year, and you're really going to be able to gauge what's happening. It's like, I kind of feel really good after the church, but I didn't really get anything. Like, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to be meditating or thinking about on, like, this week. Like, I'm not really being challenged. I get it, and it kind of felt good, and I like it. The atmosphere was cool and stuff, but I didn't, you know, like, is there any depth? Like, is there any, like, roots growing in my godliness? Like, does God just want me just to, you know, just keep moving forward in this surface fun, you know, for the rest of my life? It's almost like a child, you know, just like, do you just give them the experience of fun day and night, but never sit down and teach them anything or discipline or feed them the right stuff? The Church of America has many wolves in preacher's clothing, and Jesus actually warns us about it. I'm not bringing it up just to bring it up. I'm bringing it up because Jesus brings it up. And I'm so thankful that he does, because once again, this is a sermon I wouldn't choose to preach. I know it's needed, but I don't like, let me think of a great sermon to preach. I'm going to talk about this topic. It's like, dun, 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 you know, I got to bring things down and we got to talk about this. But Jesus warns us about it. He says for us to watch out for it because they look like one of you. They will say great stuff, but it won't be the full truth. It won't be the full meal. It will be the half-truth. And isn't that how even the political world works? The political world, I don't know if you know this, when they put together bills, they put the couple things in there that they really want to happen, the very deceptive, terrible things, in a stack of about 1,000 or 2,000 pages, right? Now, who's going to really read through 2,000 pages? Nobody, ever. No congressman ever. So let's just put it in there. Let's wrap a bunch of truthful things around it that the population likes. We're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. But you don't know about this little sneaky thing we're slipping in there. And that's where they get you. And that's exactly what the enemy does in the church. He wraps false things and terrible things around truthful things, things that you actually agree and believe in. Have you ever heard of the Trojan horse? The Trojan horse is an ancient Greek mythology story. This goes all the way back to the Trojan War that was written about this plan that the Greeks used to enter the city of Troy. Anybody seen the movie Troy? You probably have Brad Pitt. Enter the city of Troy, and they won the war, but after 10 fruitless years, the Greeks constructed a huge wooden horse, okay, this giant wooden horse. And what they did is they took their Greek soldiers and they put them into the horse and they closed them up. Then all the Greeks got on their ships and they left and sailed off, and it looked like they had left the war, that they had ran away, they'd retreated. Lo and behold, in the Trojan horse, in this wooden, giant wooden horse, were a bunch of their men. One of these Greek soldiers was standing by the gates one day, and one of the Trojan, the Troy soldiers came out and says, "What is this giant horse doing here?" And this Greek soldier standing there, he says, "Well, actually, it was a gift to one of the goddesses." Like, it's a gift to one of the goddesses. Well, then we better take it in. And so all of a sudden, the city gets all rallied up and fired up, and they do this big prayer, and they welcome in the horse into the middle of the city. Now there is the horse in the middle of the city with all of these Greek soldiers in it. In the middle of the night, they open the wooden door there on the horse, and these men walk out when it's silent. They go and they open the doors of the city and they let all the Greek army in, and they destroy and take over the city. The Trojan horse. The Trojan horse, maybe you've heard of it from a computer standpoint, right? That's the computer program which tricks a user into willingly running a program that they think is okay for their computer, yet you click on that little folder and it opens up and takes over your entire computer. There are wolves and Trojan horses in churches today. They have come in under the radar, they sneak in. Willingly or unwillingly, I don't know. Consciously or unconscious, I don't know. I can't judge the motive, the perfect motive of a person. God only knows what's really happening. I think that some people have great motive, but they are being terribly deceived. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But it is happening. And Legacy Church, listen, I am supposed to warn you of these types of preachers and churches. I don't know if you're going to be at Legacy for the next 10, 20, 30 years. I sure hope so. I'd love to see your smiling face for the next 30 years. That'd be great. I'll be here. I'll be very old and still be bald and some gray hair. It'll be wonderful. But if you end up going somewhere else, I hope that you will be able to identify a false preacher or a false church, or a church that just isn't that solid and not a place that maybe you want to commit your family to long term. There are wonderful, wonderful churches and places here in LA all over the place, but I want you to be able to identify from a distance immediately when something is just not right. You have to know. Listen, the more you don't know, the easier it is for you to be deceived, Tom. That's why we teach through the Word of God. Here at Legacy, I'm going to teach through the Bible because I want you to know every verse. That's a lot of verses, I know. And I want you to have an idea of what it's saying. I want you to know books and context. I want you to digest the entire book and have an understanding of it so that when someone says something about Jesus or somebody says, Jesus said that, and you're like, no, he didn't. Where does he say that? People say things about the Bible all the time in America, and no one knows where it's found. Because it's not in there. They're making stuff up and they're using it to their own advantage. I want you to know the full counsel of God. So when the counterfeit shows up, you can spot it from a mile away. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. We're going to break part of this text down and we'll finish the rest of the text next week. Verse 15 says, Jesus speaking to us, beware of false prophets or teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it brings clarity and it ministers and it helps us. And it is a sad thing that we even have to talk about these things, that they're actually, well, it's the enemy from the backside just trying to tear down your church and pull us away from you. And Lord, he uses people in the church. And I wish it wasn't so. But Lord, you're sovereign over all these things. You see all that's happening, and we rest in that. We thank you that you know what's going on. And we ask, Lord, that you would please speak to us and you bring us clarity on these truths, and that you would equip your saints to be able to discern right from wrong, to be able to see very clearly. Lord, not a judgmental people, not a condemning people at all, but Lord, a people who are wise, a people who can discern, a people who can tell truth from something that's false. Please fill our hearts and minds, Lord, with your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Remember, Jesus talked about last week in our sermon, working through the Sermon on the Mount. The title of the sermon was, Though None Go With Me, Still I Will Follow. And remember, we talked about the narrow gate that few enter, and which is actually hard. It's a hard path, but it leads to life. Then Jesus says, choose that gate. Please go through that gate. Walk with me through that gate. But then we have the wide gate. It says that many find. Why? Because it's easy. But even though it's easy, it's the way that leads to destruction. And that's hard because it's something that's actually happening in our society. We actually give up the world to follow Jesus. We do as Christians. We don't get to choose both. It's one or the other. We live in the world and we work in the world, but we're not of the world. The Lord now transitions into warning us against false teachers who subtly pull people away from Christ. False teachers deceive people. Again, whether they're fully aware or unaware, it happens. The devil has not stopped working. He works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he's been studying human beings for thousands of years. He's not a doofus. He knows the Bible better than you do. He probably has the thing memorized. The only problem is he doesn't submit to it. He does not submit to God's word. He does not submit to Jesus as Lord, and that is the rebellion. And his whole mission and plan is to pull people away from the Lord. That's his whole plan. If he can get you far away from God, he will destroy your life. The devil has come to kill you, to steal from you, and destroy you. Jesus has come that you would have life and have it abundantly. The devil is the father of lies, the king of deception. He is the master magician. He is the best at the sleight of hand. He will deceive you and draw you and pull you in. He will study you and follow you and find out where we fail, because he wants to deceive. And I guarantee that demons have talked about and had little group meetings and little planning meetings on how to tear down legacy and how to rip this place apart. We're in one of the largest cities in the world. There are millions of people to deceive. Don't you think if God is doing a great work in any church, especially a smaller one, he wouldn't want to just come in here in the beginning and just smash the whole thing? Of course he would. So they have their little think tanks and they get together to discuss and figure out how to tear down. But even though we're in a war, we have a God who is a great general and who rules the universe. And nothing can conquer him. And Christ has already defeated the enemy at the cross. Death has been defeated. Sin has been conquered. And we are a part of that army and we are walking with him. We do have victory in Christ, and we can walk in that victory and we can share that light in confidence in this city, that though we are attacked, we can overcome those temptations. And I believe Legacy as a church, we will be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. As they come in, we will deal with every problem. As they come in, we're going to look to God's word. As they come in, we're just going to keep seeking and worshiping no matter what happens. And no one is going to be able to stop the church from multiplying and making disciples, because our eyes are set on Jesus. The devil is working very hard, but he will be defeated. And we will conquer, and we will not be a church that will be divided. I want to break down this verse here, this one verse here very closely, but it's 1.5, 15 and first part of 16. Let me read it again. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous, I have a hard time with that word, wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Let's break this down. Beware of false prophets. The word beware in the Greek is prosecto. It is to hold the mind, to pay attention, to be cautious about, to apply oneself, to adhere to. The Greek word, the picture, is of a ship coming to dock. Beware. The ship is coming into dock. The sailors and those who are running the boat need to beware or be aware of the ship coming up to the edge, or the rocks around that it could hit. Maybe many of you have been on a boat and you've watched it dock. It's a very, very touchy thing that has to happen. You can't just like full speed ahead, and just like, hey, let's just slide this thing in. I mean, maybe there's some guys who try to do that, but really, it's a really touchy thing. You have to be fully aware of what's happening so you don't puncture the boat and sink the thing, right? Church, you need to beware. Be aware of false teachers, those who can wreck the ship. Be aware. Be cautious. The next part says, well, it's of false prophets, false teachers. Notice, false prophet. The prophet is the picture of the man in the Old Testament who would stand for God and speak his truth to the people. Now, who is a false prophet? It's one who claims to be in the gap for God, speaking for God, yet they actually aren't. They're putting on a big front. They're a con artist. It says there in the next part of the verse, who come to you. Who? Jesus talking to his disciples, our context, who come to you. They will come to you. You don't even have to go to them. We don't have to go looking for them. They show up here at church. They're on TV. They're on the radio. The enemy tries to infiltrate from within. That's why we need to be on guard, beware, watching for one another. Legacy, would you be a people who search the scriptures like the Bereans to see if what is being said is true? Acts 17:11 says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica." This is why. "For they received the message with great eagerness," and watch this, they received the message, "and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true." These people had the Apostle Paul standing before them preaching, and they listened to him eagerly, but then they're like, "Well, we're going to go take it down and go and study it. We want to make sure even what Paul is saying is true." Legacy, take the sermons, make sure what I am saying is true. Make sure these things align with God's word. That's very important. And not only me, but all those that you listen to in the city. Be wise. Don't just receive everything that you hear. Think for yourself. Our society, the Western thought and a lot of idea has taught us almost not to think for ourselves to some degree. What I mean by that is we sit in front and listen to a teacher lecture us for years and years and years, and you are told to simply believe everything that you are taught because of the authority standing in front of you. But that's not wise. I'm not saying that you shouldn't listen and receive and take in all of that. Of course, do that. Take it in with eagerness, receive it, then test it to make sure it's true. Don't believe everything you search on Google. Careful, right? We're growing up in an environment and a society that just takes in everything. The counterfeit dollar, I love it, versus the real. What a great illustration where the banker, you know, the banker studies and learns what a counterfeit dollar looks like. They handle real money all the time. Real money, real money, real money, real money, real money. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of real money. Then the moment they touch the counterfeit, they know immediately that it's not the right stuff. You know how you are able to discern the counterfeit? It's by handling this a lot. You handle it day and night. You meditate on it over and over again. And as we do so, when the counterfeit comes across your face, you say, "You know what? I like that guy. He sounds like a great guy. But there's something not right there." I'm not trying to be over judgmental or anything like that. There's just something not right. We need to be careful. It's the same thing. I read a story about a Chinese boy who wanted to learn about jade, you know, the stone. He wanted to learn more about it, and his teacher would put the jade in his hand every day and just sit there and wouldn't say anything to him. He'd just hold the jade in his hand. And after months and months and months of doing this, the kid got ticked, and he's like, "What's the deal, man? When are you going to start teaching me about the stone jade? When am I going to learn about this stone?" Teacher said nothing. Then the next day, he took a very similar stone, looked exactly the same. He put it in his hand, but it wasn't jade. The kid took it and threw it on the ground. "So this isn't jade." He says, "It's exactly. You have learned what jade is. It is my responsibility to teach you the word. It is my responsibility to make sure that you know these things and are aware of these things. Legacy, I'm not being a good pastor and shepherd if I don't tell you these things." You walk out of here, you listen to people on the radio, listen to people on the TV, and they're just working people over. Let's be honest, they're just working people over. Christianity has such a bad name because there are so many false teachers and preachers, wolves in preachers' clothing doing this stuff. It's really sad. The next part says that they're in sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing. They're wearing the wool. The false teacher acts like us to a certain degree. Jesus said they dress and move like sheep. They even talk like sheep. That, right? They talk and they use some of the Christian language. They use a lot of the same words. If you look at a lot of the cults even that have risen in the nation, a lot of them have roots in Christianity. They try to pull from Christ because they know it's attractive, and they use a little bit of that truth to work people to get them to do wicked things. Really sad. So they try to look. They may be very nice. And that's great, you know. If somebody's nice, I'm thankful for that. But at the end of the day, if they're not saying things that are true, it can be very dangerous. 1 John 4:1 says, "Dear friends, listen, you should probably write this verse down. Very good verse. 1 John 4:1. "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit that they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world." Test these things. Test them. The next part says that they are inwardly ravenous wolves. Yes, they look like sheep on the outside. They maybe even talk like us to some degree. But inside, they're not just a wolf, but a ravenous wolf. The word ravenous can also be translated robber or thief. This is a wolf with the little thief, you know, eye patch on. You know, this is a guy who is ready to steal and to come in and deceive, deceptive. Many times these wolves are also so deceived that they actually believe the things that they're teaching. They actually believe what they're preaching. I hear people ask me these things all the time. Yeah, but that preacher seems so sincere. Don't you think that they really believe these things? You think they're being malicious in what they're doing? Many times, sometimes, maybe not. But that's the thing. They are so deceived. They have allowed their hearts and minds to go so far in the wrong direction that they actually believe what they're telling you is true. Some think, well, if they have a good motive in what they're doing, it must be right. Okay, wrong. The murderer, the pedophile, the thief, many times have been deceived so far to think that what they are actually doing in their twisted minds is right. This is okay to do because they've been deceived. I think of Charles Manson. He thought what he was doing was right. I think of Hitler. What he thought he was doing was right. He deceived himself. He went so far to deceive himself. The KKK thinks what they are doing is right. And those preachers stealing people's money, they think it's okay. Those watered-down gospel preachers thinks they are building a bridge to people by not preaching the full gospel. They're like, no, man, you don't want to tell them all that stuff up front. You're going to scare them away. That's what they tell me. I say, really? Then you got to go tell Jesus to stop doing that. Because he kind of just seems to tell them all up front. You don't have to be a jerk about it, but you should probably tell them the full package deal before you try to sell it to them. Don't work the angle. Don't deceive. Don't be deceptive. Be honest. Don't hustle people in the church. Preach the full truth. They think they are preaching truth that God wants everyone to be wealthy, healthy, and prosperous. And if you're not that way, you must be in sin. People are preaching this. Oh, you're sick, you must be in sin. Oh, you don't have money, you must be in sin. Oh, you're not successful, you must be in sin. There are preachers, very well-known preachers, if I just started going down the list. Open your ears, church. Listen closely to what they are saying. Just because there's the right inflection in their voice and they get the crowd to cheer does not mean it's a good statement. It's easy to work a crowd up and to get them motivated to move in a certain direction. Listen closely to what they are saying. Don't allow the music and the working of emotion to get you stirred to believe something that may not be true. Okay? I love those. I love some of those memes and things that happen, you know, with politics. You know, where they these guys will say these absolutely ridiculous, you know, political statements and things like that. And then on the end of it, they'll go, "God bless America!" And everybody's like, "Yeah!" You know, and you're like, did you just hear what he said? You know? And then they say something and it gets awkward. And then he says another terrible thing. And then he's like, oh no, "God bless America! Yeah!" You know, and everybody starts cheering again. It's like, are the people listening? Why are they being so worked over so quickly? I remember a musician, a big musician that I used to know, he'd play in front of these large crowds, and he'd always say that. It's one of the ways that he would work the crowd over. He'd say, look, even if you start the song off terrible, if you finish big, it always goes well. So you just, you know, even if you mess up the whole thing in the middle and you're just like, what are we doing? I don't know. You know, and you're playing and this and that. Just as long as all of a sudden you bring the thing up and do, bang. Thank you. Thank you, Chicago. We'll see you next time. And the place walks out and says, that was the best song I ever heard. You got to understand that people use these things to work people over. It's a truth. 2 Peter 2, 1 to 3 says, but there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false prophets and teachers among you. They will, listen, watch this, they will cleverly teach destructive heresies. Clever. Some of your translations say secretly. Even denying the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of the truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. It's really happening. And that's why, listen, this is why the Church of America is so weak. It has been infiltrated, and you have bad teaching. When you have bad teaching and you have guys just playing and just doing all kinds of stuff, now you have a weak church, and then you have these people proclaiming themselves as Christians, and that is the example of the world of Christianity. And that is why the church is at such a loss and in failure in this season. Jesus tells us you will recognize them by their fruits. How do you spot them out? How do you find these false teachers? How do you figure out who it is? You will know them by their fruits. Look at their fruits. Be looking, be aware. There are wolves in the city. Look at their teaching, number one. There's two things I would encourage you to look at. Look at their teaching and look at their living. Look at their teaching and look at their living. When someone comes in and they're like, they know a lot about the Bible, but then their life doesn't match up with it, something's wrong there. Someone wants to spout off a lot of things to impress, to make them look the appearance of being holy, but then on the inside, life is not working out, and all of a sudden they're sinful things here and there. There's something wrong. And the same vice versa. If someone has this perfect, spotless, holy-looking life, but then their teaching is completely south, and you're just like, dude, there's something wrong here. You need to be looking at both. Watch closely at their teaching. Watch closely at their life. Romans 16, 17 says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. I have six things I want you to write down and remember to identify wolves in preacher's clothes. Number one, the wolves in preacher's clothing do not say certain things that Jesus does say. They don't say things that Jesus does say. They withhold truth to win the approval of people. They only tell the half truth. They don't emphasize the most important things Jesus talks about. A.W. Tozer said this, the unattended garden will soon be overrun with weeds. The heart that fails to cultivate truth and root out error will shortly be a theological wilderness. You see, without constantly uprooting the error, before you know it, you'll have weeds in your entire garden. It will take over everything, clouds the thinking, and the life goes sideways. Austin O'Malley said this, those that think it permissible to tell white lies soon grow colorblind. The constant telling of a white lie or a half-truth, you start to go colorblind. And I see this happen in preachers and teaching, because they're not teaching the full truth all the time. They're like, the text is saying this, but I'm just gonna say this over here. Let's not talk about that place over there. You keep doing that. Over time, you have destruction. And we start to compromise in little places. Is the word of God really God's words? Is it really perfect and spotless, no contradictions? Well, maybe not. Is that really the definition of marriage? Well, maybe it's not. Is that really sinful? No, I don't think so. And before you know it, the church is confused and they don't know what they believe anymore because the pastor won't take a stance on it. And so we need preachers in America to actually start teaching us what it says. I think part of the problem is they don't know what it says. They themselves don't know, but they're not going to tell you that they don't know. And so I listen closely, and I am very critical of myself. I'm very critical of other preachers because, hey, this is a serious calling, and we are called to lead people. And you can very quickly deceive and put people on the wrong path. We're dealing with real people's lives in eternity. We can't be messing around here. Point number two, the wolves in preachers' clothing please people above God. They please people above God. They make people feel comfortable, but make God feel uncomfortable. They care more about what people think than what God thinks. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. One of my favorite passages. And I hope that, let me read the verse first. Just listen. I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, and I would say is now, the time is now, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, Legacy, church, Christians, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Paul is writing to the young Timothy, he said, there's coming a time when people are only going to want to hear things that itch their ears. You know, like a dog likes that itching, you know, that one secret spot in the back on a dog, you know? Even if a dog looks super mean, you know, and it's just like he's coming up, he's like sniffing you, like checking you out, you know, it's somebody else's dog and you walk up and you're like, you know, you let him sniff your hand and before you, then you find that secret spot in the back of his ear, you start itching him, he's like, oh yeah, oh you're the best, you know, I love this guy. The text is saying that there are preachers who will just come and itch the ears of the people. Just keep itching the ears of the people, make them feel real good. And tell them exactly what they want to hear so they can close the deal and make the sale. That's not truth. That's not being honest. And people will want to hear truth and sound doctrine. I have had people in these last 2 years come up to me and ask me positions on certain things. And as soon as they hear what I say or where I stand, they say, well, maybe this isn't the church for us. And I say, you're right. It's not the church for you. And the sad thing is, it's like, well, but you're losing them. Not really. Because they want to hear something that I'm just not going to preach. I'm not going to compromise what God has said. And the reason why is, Legacy, I got to stand before him one day for all the things that I say to you. And I'm a lot more scared of God than I am of you. He's a dangerous one. He could wreck the universe in a moment if he wanted to. We should be in fear of the one who not can only kill the body, but the one who can throw it into hell. God is watching. And we are told in the scriptures that not many should be teachers because they will be judged above all other people in eternity. So there will come a time in heaven, in eternity, when all of a sudden God says, okay, that was wonderful. We had a great time with judging all the people of the world. Now, all the preachers, please step forward. Yes, you, Josh Thompson, over there, would you please step forward, Legacy City Church? Lord, you know, on my face. Now let's talk about some of the things that you were sharing. I am far more in fear of God than I am of the people in the city. And we all need to be. Luke 6, 26, I hadn't seen this verse in a long time and I was so thankful for it. It says this, Jesus says, woe to you when all people speak well of you. For so their fathers did to the false prophets. If everybody speaks well of you, there's something wrong. Don't be a jerk, please. Don't do that. Pastor said everybody can't speak well of me. I'm going to go be a jerk to people in this city to make sure that I got a couple who don't like me. Don't do that. Don't do that. These wolves, most of the time, are great guys. They're wonderful guys. And as the church grows and we have more opportunity, I hope to commit to making phone calls to some of these guys and sitting down and having coffee with some of these guys and just talking to say, dude, this is a big deal. We got to get on the same page. We need more people to come to Jesus. We need real disciples. We need to make a difference, not half-hearted Christians, lukewarm Christians. Number three, the wolves in preacher's clothing doesn't talk or explain sin, God's wrath, or hell. They just run away from that stuff. You know, it's like, we're not going to bring up the sin word. You say sin in church? Yeah, Jesus did. Why wouldn't I say that? It's very clearly in the Word of God. God's wrath and hell, it's a real reality, and people will go there if they do not come to know Christ. And so we need to be talking about it. It's sad. Preachers who won't talk about hell are actually leading their people there. They're selling people a product that doesn't save them. It's deception. It's false. Number four, the wolves in preacher's clothing doesn't preach repentance. It's easy to sell a gospel that doesn't call people to do anything. We love the whole saving thing. We love the grace. We love the forgiveness. We love the mercy. We love the love of God. But then there's one kicker there that a lot of preachers want to forget, and that is that Christ calls you to allow him to be Lord over your life. And that means to repent and to turn away from the lifestyle and the gods that you have been pursuing, forsake them, turn away from them, make Christ Lord of your life, and submit to him all the days of your life. That's true repentance, okay? Jesus preaches repentance. Number five, the wolves in preacher's clothing offers easy salvation. Easy salvation. Jesus didn't offer that. Do you remember? We talked about it last week a little bit. He said, count the cost of being a disciple before you choose to be a disciple. He says, doesn't a man sit down before he starts to build his building and make sure he has enough money, enough for the cost before he starts building it? Yeah, you got to do that. Or he'll start building it, he'll have half a building and it won't work out. So he says, so too, sit down, count the cost of being a disciple, then make the decision to follow Christ. Number six, and finally, the wolves in preacher's clothing doesn't speak of holiness or obedience to God. They only want to speak of grace and forgiveness and all of that because it's fun. It feels good. And I love that part of the gospel. Why? It's my motivation, man. His grace and mercy is what motivates me to want to be holy. His grace and mercy motivates me to want to be obedient. When I look at his love and what he's done for me, that's what challenges me. I say, God, you've been so good to me. And now I want to be obedient and walk with you. But truly, holiness is a form of happiness in life. Did you know that? The more holy and the closer you walk with God, the more obedient you are to him. Yes, the better life will get. You won't cause problems for yourself. Holiness and obedience to God. Can I just close in these two scriptures? Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his own love towards us and that while we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. My response to Jesus dying for me is to give my whole life in submission to him. And listen, it's not a chore. I don't have to do that. I want to do that. I want to give my whole life in submission to Jesus because of what he has done for me. That is my motivation. I'm not earning anything. I'm not trying to get brownie points in heaven. This is an honest submission because of what Christ has done for me. And that is the true message of the gospel. When a person sees how much Christ has given for them individually, they can't help but give all of their life in obedience. Repentance, the whole package just falls into place. The enemy has sent people and is using people in the church to infiltrate and tear down this place. Some of those people are wolves in preacher's clothing, sad to say. Preaching things God is not saying and not saying things that God is saying. And we need to be careful, Legacy. Jesus says, beware, be watchful. So please, I hope this is a message that you can tuck in your pocket and hold for decades to come. and that you'll be on guard. You'll be watching out for those around you. You'll be loving and serving those around you in this way, and that we will be a church that will be strongly held together, watching out for the enemy, and that no deception would ever creep in to this place. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things, hold fast to what is true. Amen.